Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz on this Christmas holiday, 26th of December. Hope everybody had a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah, as they every once in a while they all fall at the same time. So I hope that you had an enjoyable weekend and enjoyed some great football. Unfortunately, a lot of injuries in the old football world, and a lot of top guys got hurt in key spots. But that's the game, and unfortunately, those are things that had happened. But we continue to be on Dow 20K watch. You know, I don't get it, to be honest with you. You know, the overall markets are very underwhelming. The economy has got a ton of work to do. There is no way that the numbers that we are at now justify being where they are. And again, I'm not saying that we're going to go down, and I'm not calling for a collapse. It's just, We have gotten significantly ahead of ourselves, and you know, when that happens, I mean, it usually means that there is some selling pressure going to be coming. Now, again, it doesn't mean that we're going to go straight down. You know, one of the things I always like to warn about is you get too many assholes out there, you know, claiming for, you know, zero or a billion. You know, you get one that says we're going to 25,000, one that says we're going to 5,000. Why don't we just look and watch the market footprint? And that will tell us what's next in the market. But if you think that you're going to time this market and pick it right, you better think again. Markets are not timable. They do what they do based on the buyers and sellers that are out there. You know, when we go up, the buyers are being more aggressive. The sellers, there still is an equal amount of selling going on. Because there has to be, for every trade, for every 100 shares, for example, bought, there has to be 100 shares sold. So we know that it's going to go whichever way it's going to go. And we have a couple of camps here, but the bear camp is getting thinner as we see even the perma bears starting to turn bullish based on what's going on. Now, usually what that means is that we're getting near the end, or getting near a top here. And again, a top is relative. You know, if you, you know, went to sleep for 10 years and got up, you would venture to say that the market is going to be probably higher than it is today, and probably higher by an average of 9% a year over that time. However, what we do have to realize is that at some point, people are going to take profits. At some point, markets are going to change the dynamics for a short period of time. And then, of course, we will go back to being where we are. And again, 9% year over year, just not every year. So just because we get a bear market is not a bad thing. A bear market, actually, a correction is actually a good thing for the markets. It does weed out the weak and actually makes the economy much stronger. One of the problems that we have today in the markets is that we have allowed things to go on too long. We have created an artificial environment of, you know, potential, which does not is not the case. There are too many problems out there that need to be rectified, and eventually they will. Again, you cannot continue to kick the can down the road and hope that your troubles are going to go away, because they never do. They're going to have to be dealt with, and they will be dealt with, and they will probably be dealt with fairly harshly at the first glance. And then, of course, cooler heads will prevail, and calmer heads will prevail, and we'll start to see the markets rise again. But of course, I'm talking about rising when right now we are obviously have risen to what I would think would be unsustainable levels for now. Okay, because again, we have not addressed the lack of growth in this country. We have not addressed the lack of jobs in this country. We have not addressed the problem with the average worker and the middle class. Now, they will, again, resolve at some point. You know, again, anytime we go into a new direction, which we are now, we're more into, you know, the technology revolution. There are going to be certain members of society that are going to be left on the sidelines, which is, you know, typically your middle class, which is typically your spenders, and typically the ones who actually drive the economy. Now, you know, this is something that, you know, we've gone, this has been probably one of the most drastic changes in history, only because it's only in the last 35 to 40 years that the education component, the college education component, became so important. Okay. So now that we are in that position of, we have a big majority or a big part of the population that is, you know, uneducated and not prepared to move into the technology age. But now as we start to build our new workforces for 10 and 20 years from now, they will all be trained for this, the technology age, and it's a different world. Now, this will resolve, again, this will resolve out. And again, I think that the markets will be fine over time. But from a standpoint of where we are now, I can only see the markets heading to the downside for a short period of time, you know, whether it be a year or 2 years or whatever happens to be. But we're going to have to see some profit taking, some selling, some carnage of some companies that really are not of existence anymore and again, don't need to be here. And that is something that will happen. And this is, again, this is part of the natural evolution, or we'll call it the circle of life. And we'll bring back Simba and, you know, and the king and start to rework. But again, it isn't a time to panic. It isn't a time to do anything drastic. It is a time to evaluate where you stand financially. It is a time to evaluate your assets and say, hey, is this the time for me to start to hedge and put myself in a position so that I don't have to think about what's going to happen in the near future? Because again, I'm from the school is why sell stock? Why get out? Why try to rotate? Why try to guess what's going to happen next when we can actually prevent the event from affecting us? We cannot prevent the event from occurring, but we can prevent the event from destroying us. We can prevent the event from taking away from our bottom line. And that, I think, is the important thing, is not how to get around it, but how to benefit and succeed from it. That, to me, is the most important lesson that we can learn going into 2017, is how do we benefit from the impending market sell-off instead of how do we have to worry about panicking or preparing for it. And that, I think, is more important. It's better to have a strategy in place than to be scrambling once it all happens. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show on the day after Christmas. And of course, once again, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah. And we appreciate you being here. And of course, we do appreciate when you go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And of course, always go to bubbatrading.com and check out the latest blog and the latest media appearance and what we're doing. And in fact, you know, check out our new hedging program, which does start on January the 4th, so that you can be prepared for these turbulent markets that we expect to see coming. This is The Bubba Show. Top up forward. We're going to step out here for breaking. We will be back with the Bubba Show.
Yeah. All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, the really talented Jane King, Lila Maximedia, the Kaching Report, and financial literacy expert. What do you say, Jane King?
Well, just happy holidays to everybody. What a year this has been. Let's hope for a great 2017.
You know what? I think I do think that we're off to the right start. I think that, you know, if we can just get through some of the nonsense that goes on, I think we'll be in good shape. However, I'm not such a big fan of the markets in 17. I think we've gotten dramatically ahead of the things that we can do, because I even if Trump can get all the things done he wants, it's not happening tomorrow. What do you think?
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, it's, well, you know, what happened was, I think the election results surprised a lot of people. And so they all had to, like, reposition and get on the right, you know, track after the election results. So what we saw was just, like, a huge rotation in things. And now it's starting to calm down a little bit. I mean, you know, the wait for Dow 20,000 is going on and on and on. It's ridiculous, like, every day, you know. But yeah, I mean, even if like he gets the tax reform and, you know, regulatory reform that he wants, and I think it's a good chance he's going to get a lot of it that he wants. It's still going to take some time to kind of just filter its way through the economy and show up in the terms of real productivity and real wage growth and all those things that matter to stock markets and earnings too.
And, you know, and one of the things is that bothers me about all this media flash, is that, you know, it's not such a given, even though he's got a Republican House and a Republican Senate, that they're going to approve all these things so quickly, because, you know, what they're doing with some of these things is they're going to lose votes, and they may get voted out. And these guys don't want to get voted out. They like the cushy life they have. What do you think about that?
Right. And plus there's, you know, one thing that kind of concerns me a little bit is some of the China stuff that's going on. I mean, not that there doesn't need to be some tough negotiations going on with China. I mean, they've kind of had their way with us, you know, for 15, 20 years now, at least. But, you know, some of the publicness of it and all that may cause some problems next year. Not just, you know, in terms of like just nervousness, but in real earnings and real companies trade. So I think, you know, that is a potential hotspot out there that could lead to some real scoops in the market in 2017.
And quite frankly, I think the market needs a little bit of a spooking. I think we've become a society of far too complacent, not on edge. And even the perma bears are starting to turn bullish. And of course, after you've had a 250% rally, I mean, you know, even a train stops at the station. What do you think?
Right, right, yes. And, you know, trees don't grow forever, you know, I mean, all this stuff. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We're going to have a correction at some point. I mean, even if some of this stuff goes through, there's still issues out there. I mean, that are going to take a long time to work through. I mean, the regulatory stuff, for example, I mean, all this kind of, you know, the EPA, like just their overstepping of regulations didn't happen overnight. It's going to take a while to undo those and for that to filter down in the economy and result in real change. So, yeah, I mean, things are slowing down, and I think people are starting to realize that despite, you know, what should be good structurally and what may be just great in 10 years, it's not going to happen tomorrow. And I think that, you know, that's why we're seeing the market stall out right here.
And it would take only an ex-farm girl. Well, you're always a farm girl, but an ex-farm girl to bring up the EPA, because that would be the number one concern for farmers, I think, is the damage that the EPA does to them. Isn't that correct?
Well, it's certainly probably in the top three or five. I mean, weather is always, you know, probably the number one thing. And, you know, just trade and issues and all that. So, yeah, and the EPA, I mean, it's just been a pain. I mean, it's so hard. I mean, you and I have talked about this. It's so hard to make money doing anything, really. And, you know, when you're a farmer and you're dealing with, you know, the weather and just, you know, the cost of farming and so many things. I feel like growing up on a farm, the farmers feel are out of their control. Of course, the weather's out of their control. Trade policies are out of their control. I mean, so many things. And now you've got the EPA who's like, you know, finger waving, can't do this, can't do this, can't do this. You know, it just really is frustrating and it's really hard. And I think, you know, I think they're going to be really happy with some of the changes that are going to come. And Carl Icahn, going to be head of regulatory reform, and I think he's going to be pretty amazing at it.
And I agree. Look, obviously, we are a much overregulated society. I mean, you know, again, it goes back to where what we should be having is it should be, you know, government should be run from the city to the county to the state and then to the federal government, not the other way around. And I think that, and hopefully that will change as well. And we will see this. But again, this is not something that can happen tomorrow. And unfortunately, there is been done much damage. I would go back to the Reagan years, you know, with a lot of the policies, and it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you sit on, but there's been a lot of damage done, and there's just obviously an enormous pile of debt that has to be worked out, and these budgets have to be worked out, and hopefully we'll get a president now that will actually try to stick on budget. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hugely interesting what he's doing. I mean, first of all, just the sheer entertainment value of watching all these people coming in and out of Trump Tower. I mean, Kanye West, you know, Dallas Cowboys coach, Naked Cowboy. I mean, it's funny. And it's just hugely interesting. It's the most interesting thing going on in the world right now. And then you've got, you know, just in terms of the people that he's picked, I mean, they really feel passionately about growing a business and entrepreneurship. And we've just stagnated. I mean, we've really basically stagnated since the late 90s. And, you know, we had, you know, President Bush, but I didn't feel like he really was fostering entrepreneurship. And seems like in some ways, you know, he was as regulation oriented as some Democrats had been. So, you know, it's tough. I mean, when you're a politician and people, you know, have problems and they want them fixed and they look to you for help and you've been elected and you feel obligated to help and to tell them, well, you're not going to do anything about it and let the free market work. I mean, you know, that's going to get some people, especially if you're in Democrat areas, you're not going to stick around very long in that job. So it's going to be tough, but I love the fact that we're going to see an environment where there's less regulation. We've got tax reform that's simpler. It's less burdensome, I believe, and how that really works. And because a lot of people have never seen an economy really vibrant and, you know, anybody basically under the age of 40. So I think this is going to be, hopefully will work, and I think a lot of people may get a nice little lesson in economics and free market system.
Let's hope so, because I tell you, this old system is getting old. But let me ask you this. So, you know, everybody's complaining, not everybody, but a lot of people are complaining about the cabinet that Trump has picked, and, you know, why are they having so many billionaires and all this other stuff. And I go, you know, the smallest business cabinet ever was President Obama at 7%. And before him, the next smallest was John F. Kennedy at 38%. And I mean, we are a business and we have to run like a business and, you know, we have to live under the budgets and everything else. So yeah. Does the cabinet bother you? I think the cabinet's great myself.
No, the cabinet doesn't bother me at all. I mean, but I'm of an entrepreneurial bent. I mean, I believe in business. I believe in free markets and competition. Now, I do, you know, think people need help. Everybody needs help from time to time in their life, but it shouldn't be permanent. It shouldn't be integrated in the thinking of society like it is right now. It should be, here's a little boost. Now let's get on our way, you know, and but yeah, no, I think the cabinet's fine. These are doers. And I mean, you know, this is, somebody can sit and theorize in a college classroom about making money and budgets, but until you're there, and you know, I'll be going on 3 years owning my own business in January, and you've got, you know, people like clients who aren't paying you on time. What do you do about that? How do you handle that? How do you plan for that? You're dealing with, I mean, each client and sales is like a little snowflake. I mean, they're all different in the terms of what they need, and you have to just cater to that. You have to learn the nuances of sales. And I mean, these people have never had to do that. You know, they don't really hire people and go through all that. So the fact that this is a group of people in the cabinet that have been through that for the most part, I think it's really going to be helpful.
Jane King, Lila Maxmi, The Kitchen Report, you are the best. Merry Christmas. Happy, healthy new year. You're the best. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You too. Yep.
That was our friend Jane King from Lila Maxmedia. And of course, you know, again, she's in the business and understands the business model and actually came from the Midwest and moved into the big city of New York. And, you know, it's always interesting to watch how people work and what they do. And of course, make sure that, you know, you want to hear more of Gene King and things like that. You go to libertytalk.fm and you can download the Bubba Show on the during the week, and on the weekends, the Sporting Edge. In the meantime, go to BubbaTrading.com and check out the new things we're doing for the new year. Our goal is to make you better and make you more profitable. In the meantime, I'm going to step out of here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we'll see you back here right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz on this day after Christmas holiday, but there is no holidays for my chief technician and my man Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. What's up, Matt, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good to be here.
So, Matt, we've got, one more week left in this year. And, of course, you and I talked about this a couple of times, how quiet it should be. And unfortunately, it has not disappointed at how slow the markets have been. And what are you seeing? What are the charts showing? What are we looking at, for, going into this week and then further into the new year?
Well, I think we're near toppy levels. I mean, we're through upper Bollinger Bands on all of the indices, and usually you just don't stretch, that much higher through them. I do think eventually we're going to see higher levels, which will be bull market tops, with the exception of a few indices, which have already peaked. Some are very close or have, right at the edge of peaking. So from my point of view, the only indices that have more to go would be the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Russell 2000 is already basically finished, and Euro Stoxx 50 is just up against a major pivot resistance line that should act as like a brick wall. There's no real way that's going higher.
So, we've seen, and of course, markets themselves can always stretch further than one might think. I mean, obviously, a lot has to do with people that are now, people that have missed out, that are trying to buy every dip, and we continue to push higher. But they do seem like the overall energy every time we go up is continues to lessen, and it does look like we have seen, most likely tops. Not that they couldn't, purge a little bit higher. I mean, I'm assuming that we have a fairly good shot at printing 20,000 this week. What are your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, we might make it to 20,000. For me, if we make it to 20,000, then we'll make it up. We'll go further, and so I'm still thinking we need to have, we need to have a pullback. It could start this week. Just sort of a drift lower. And then I think in January, going back to your last question, I think once we get into January, we're looking at volatility jumping, and at least that's what the market makers are betting on. And then we'll see some lower levels, and then I think we'll make at a later point we'll make another run at 20,000. I mean, look, we came within 12 points last week, so hey, we could make it this week, but I don't think it's gonna. It might be one of those things where we touch it and then drop away.
I mean, that would be, to me, the more logical thing. I mean, typically markets don't get this close without printing a number. And when I say print, it's just they're going to get it to say 20,000. They're going to pull the hats out on the New York Stock Exchange. And then I think we could see a pretty good sell-off off of that. And that would make perfectly logical sense. I mean, the market does need, I think, some selling pressure. Now, on this first, or in your expectations of this first move down, that we're going to see, What would you expect to be the depth of this first sell-off?
I don't think it's going to be super deep. I think the max downside is going to be basically where we started off the Trump rally. So I think I don't have that in front of me, but the day after the election, I would say that's the level we'll go back down to.
All right, so you're looking probably somewhere around 18,000 in the Dow, which is actually still a fairly significant sell-off. I mean, it would be almost a 10% break, which in today's world is not as hard to get to because right now we move so much faster with everything. I mean, you know, the news flows faster, everything. The markets now work in a much faster mode because information flows so much faster. And, of course, everybody's got, in your pocket, everybody's carrying a super high-power computer that they trade from. So is the are the commercials still showing a pretty conviction to the short?
Yeah, they've stayed that way too. They've gone through a lot of pain. They're short Dow 5-1. They're short NASDAQ now 7-1, and they're short Russell 2000 5-1. They are, they're pretty heavily short.
Now, again, one of the things I do say in their defense, and not defending any, not that they need defending, but they are carrying a bunch of long positions. I'm assuming, I don't know this for a fact, but I assume they're carrying long stocks. So basically what they're doing is they're looking to benefit off of a big sell-off like they've done with the volatility futures a couple of times this year, but yet still holding their core long position. So this is almost like a balance and looking to take advantage while they're not going to dump out of any of their long positions. You put any credence in that?
Yeah, I put some credence in that. I think, to some extent, I think these are hedge positions, but I don't know. You never really know how much of it is a hedge and how much isn't. If I go back and I look throughout the COT report, the bank participation report, and look at, for example, the Russell 2000 futures, and I say, were they long just prior to big moves up, and were they short just prior to big moves down? They were. So even if it is a hedge, it's still a pretty good indicator of, their thoughts on market direction.
Oh, no, I agree with that. I agree with 100%. They're certainly telling you that they believe the markets are going down, or they wouldn't be, nobody would put on these kind of positions at this size if they didn't believe that there was a big sell-off looming. And, of course, I agree. I think one of the problems, from a trader's standpoint is that there was, and I think that's starting to lighten up a little bit, too many bears out there, too many people trying to pick the top. And one of the things that does do is it kind of lingers and helps the markets continue to move higher or flat because there's too many people trying to sell it. And, of course, they keep getting trapped and having to cover their shorts. So that could be something. But, again, I think what you'll see is, my opinion is one day you'll wake in, we'll start selling off, and the subsequent rally, which will be a rally off of that first initial sell-off, will make a lower high, and that'll be off to the races to the downside to your new targets. What do you think of that?
I think that we did need to clear out the bears, and I think they're virtually cleared out. And, if you look at some of these investor sentiment surveys, they're wildly bullish. The number of bears is just, at historically low levels. Everybody seems to be all, in terms of looking at cash levels, everybody seems to be all in. And that doesn't mean we can't go higher. Just, there's definitely warning signs, though. I agree. I think as long as we don't have, short covering as a stabilizing factor, we can go down a lot faster.
So as we look forward, and again, I believe there's a bigger sell-off coming. I mean, again, but I do, obviously we have the pundits cheerleading. We've got the continued story, which I've heard for 36 years. There's money on the sidelines. And one of the things I always say, there's always money on the sidelines. Markets go up, markets go down, but there's always money flowing in from funds and from, IRAs and things like that. So, I mean, who can judge, that's why you can't really pick tops or bottoms, and why a guy like you, who is purely mathematical and looks at the levels, has ideas of where it's going to come to and your trend line. So as your trend lines start to move down, obviously you've established a potential top here. If you were looking yourself and saying, hey, I'm going to go to one spot, what would you short first? The NASDAQ? Because that's where the heaviest shorts lay?
Yeah, NASDAQ has, the more, as an immediate trade, I would do NASDAQ short. I think Russell 2000 is, at present, that's my favorite short. I think it has long. I think from this area, it has both short-term sell-off potential and long-term sell-off potential. I wouldn't expect much higher levels in the Russell 2000. I think 1400 is basically the ceiling there. Unlike the Dow and S&P, which I think and NASDAQ potentially that can go higher. A while back, NASDAQ broke my an important resistance level for me, so I think eventually, you know, can make newer highs. And but I think Russell 2000 would be a good bet right now as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. Listen, the Russell's up 23% since the election and 43% since February 11 bottom. So, I mean, certainly those rallies just can't be sustained. But of course, we've got a lot of excitement. And of course, that's what's driving here. But from a technical standpoint, when was your first indication that we might start looking to go lower?
What would be my first indication?
I mean, you've obviously seen some signs in the market saying, hey, we're probably near, you know, the top here. What are the indications that are saying to you that, hey, we're near the top?
Well, take my form of technicals out of it and not even look at, you know, the kind of the work I do with my resistance lines and so forth. If you just look at the Bollinger Band stuff, I mean, take a look at, monthly, weekly, daily Bollinger Bands. We have gone above the upper Bollinger Band by an historic amount in the Dow, in the S&P, and in the Russell 2000. Russell 2000 went well past its upper Bollinger Band, the most in history. Same thing with Dow. So, the last time the Dow made it above its Bollinger Band by this amount was August of 1987. So this is, that was my level of thinking, look, it can't stretch that much further.
That's funny because I was trading on the floor in August of 1987. And when that did happen, and I didn't know it was the Bollinger Bands at the time, but when that did happen, there was a writer or a newsletter that a guy named Dick West, who every day until the market collapsed said sell on the bottom. He put commentary, sell, 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 every single day until obviously October 19th. Anyways, this is Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And when you miss an episode, and you should never do that, but if you do miss, you go to libertytalk.fm and download the version every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. We're going to step by here for a break and come back with more from our guy, Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, after the break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're coming right back to you on this Christmas holiday Monday. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our chief analyst, CTA, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. I really got good at your name after all that time. It took me long enough. And, of course, Matt, we know that you're a gold bull or a gold bug, and you've brought that up many, many times, but you have been bearish gold to your deal. You know, you haven't been stepping in, and you've said, hey, we're going lower, and I got a target, and I know you're offering a special. So tell us about the gold special, sir.
Right. Well, I don't think that the December, January lows of last year were the bottom. And I know we've fallen back close to those lows, but we're near a bounce point, so I don't think we're going to break them immediately. But we do see a final lower leg that still hasn't occurred, and that should bring us to the final gold bottom. And so what we've set up is a service where we send out an email and a text saying when we've hit the final target line, when it's complete, and it's essentially free to sign up. It's a dollar to sign up, and we have to be right to charge anything more. So if we hit the line exactly, if we are within 3%, that's the precision that we're looking for. Then we get a 20% rally at minimum. Only then will we charge an additional $49.
So I get a free roll from Matt Demeter at DemeterResearch.com to have him tell me when he thinks the bottom of gold is in, and I only have to pay if I make a lot of money, which is a pretty good deal, I think. So I'm down. Of course, I've already signed up for it because I want to be on in this because I do believe that gold is, you know, I don't know what the exact price is, but somewhere near. And certainly I would be not afraid to be a buyer of gold, especially on one last plunge, which I think would end this gold bear market. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, gold is a heavily manipulated commodity, as, you know, most, you know, gold bugs know. And it's being moved by, you know, the commercials and you know, various banks that have interest in it. You know that, for one thing, their target has to be below the prior lows. My technicals say it anyway, but the that's where all the stops are going to be. So the, you know, 1,050 area, they're going to have to break that to trigger all these stops so that they can cover their shorts and potentially go long.
So they can come in and swoop it up, and then obviously, and of course, this is something natural that happens in the markets all the time, is commercial dealers, and they're not looking for your stop per se, but we all know as traders kind of where stops would be resting in the market, and of course, we're going to go trigger those all. That's just kind of trading, and that's the risk that we take, but again, you've done it long enough, you kind of understand it. So, you know, does that consist for silver as well? Are you looking to be a buyer of silver somewhere at the bottom of gold as well?
Yeah, I think silver is the bigger opportunity, actually. I think silver, you know, has more potential upside than gold does. There's less silver above ground than there is gold. There's a billion ounces of silver above ground, and there's 5 billion ounces of gold above ground. So you're talking about one market, gold, which is about $5 trillion in market size, and then you have silver, which is $20 billion. So, you know, silver is like the size of Twitter or something like that.
Okay.
Once we're into a precious metals bull market, I think we're going to see, you know, much more upside for silver.
And listen, I like silver as well. And I say, look, if you're buying it because you're afraid of the dollar and you're afraid of the currency, you better buy some silver. You need a smaller denomination to get involved. But so now, of course, on Friday we had the cold storage report and the cattle on feed report, and of course, you know, you've been fairly bullish hogs, and I think looking for just a little bit more upside in the meats. But you do think, I believe, that they are a little bit overbought in here. What's your take on the meats here?
Well, I think that, you know, we're saying like about 4% more to the upside was our minimum. We got about 5 or 6% more, and now we've reached a pivot resistance area for us in hogs, and so cattle have already moved about as far as we needed them to move as well. So we've sold out of our livestock positions entirely, and now we're looking for a pretty good pullback here before getting back in long.
All right, and now when we look at that, and of course, then we tie into the grain space. Now you have been basically for an extended period of time, at least comfortable owning wheat, but bearish on beans and corn. Corn continues to remain in that kind of range and is held above the 345. But beans finally, I think, have broken down some key spots here, and it looks like it could get fairly ugly. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think, you know, soybeans have quite a bit more downside. I think corn does as well. Last I looked on corn, it was starting to get somewhat overextended on. Actually, no, it has more room to the downside, but immediately. But yeah, I think both corn and soybeans are, you know, they have a lot more potential to the downside. Wheat, not real, you know, ready to get into wheat long. We've kind of stayed out of it, but that's one where if I was gonna short both corn and soybeans, I would be long wheat as a hedge.
All right. So again, I mean, I happen to like wheat. I think that I've made the comments on air on TV that I thought wheat would be make it over $5 in 2017, and I think it would resume its normal track back to being a dollar or so over corn. And we'll see how that all plays out. Now, of course, the oil markets have been I don't know, after the spike high of 2 weeks ago, on that OPEC garbage. They've basically tried to trend a little bit lower here, and I, my opinion is oil is going much lower. I mean, it won't. It's not going lower tomorrow necessarily. You know, much lower, but I think it's going back down. You know, to the 40 level, which is my original target. What are your thoughts on oil?
Yeah, no, I'm bearish as well. I agree with that. There's a potential for us. We have a declining resistance line that we've talked about. It's up around 57. Call it 57 today. And that could be, in, I'm talking about the February contract. So we've had to adjust where our that resistance point is, but it's roughly 57. And then we could either fall here or we could go up to that level and then fall from there. But I think we're basically, you know, in that peaking area where we would peak out and go down to the, I'm looking for the low 40s as well.
You know, I mean, I agree. Look, I don't see it. And of course, you know, I don't base it on OPEC. In fact, I was happy with the OPEC announcement because I wanted to sell it anyway. So that gave me a higher level to sell. But again, you know, if you are basing on that, we know that they've never kept a deal. Why would I expect this time to be different? And as we look at the dollar now, you know, I thought that the dollar 102 was pretty much going to be the end of it. Of course, we've made it past that almost to 104. Is there much room left in the dollar going higher?
Well, this has started to really interest me, I'd say. The peaks that we've gotten so far were consistent with a very bearish pattern that could have gone, you know, 10, 20, 30% lower. We've broken it modestly, not enough to negate that pattern. But I would say if we go above, this is sort of a critical level. If we go above 104, certainly 105, then it's going to be, then it changes the picture entirely. Then we would be going, then the bearish pattern would break and we would be looking for the next level up, which is a lot higher. It's in the 120s. So that would, you know, that would be pretty significant.
I mean, that would mean the euro is going out of business, which is probably a pretty good reality, obviously, because the euro being about 60% of the dollar index. So we're basically trading partially almost the euro here, right?
Right. And that would be right. I do think, you know, long term euro has very significant problems. But if we look at, you know, you were talking about Bollinger Bands, the dollar is above its Bollinger Band or at it, and euro is at its lower Bollinger Band or below it. So I think we need a little bit of a snapback here. That's one aspect. Another is that the commercials, particularly just a handful of banks, less than four actually, are heavily short the dollar. And it's a very concentrated position that they've been increasing into strength. And these appear to be very large banks. So, you know, you can take your pick which, but they're probably smart money banks. They probably know, you know, a lot more.
We'll have to cut that short. We'll get that next week. But this is The Bubba Show with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Thanks for being on today, Matt.
Thanks a lot, Todd. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz at LibertyTalk.fm. We'll allow you to download the show every single day. In the meantime, that'll do it for this holiday edition, December 26th of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Ready to go to work. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz.
Let this old world just spin around.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.